This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Second hour of the program here. You can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian Aria and Mark joining you here tonight. We started out just by talking about Donald Trump getting arrested, and that resulted in an hour-long conversation about voting for the lesser of the evils, which, of course, is the wasted vote syndrome.
Let us just go ahead and call it voting for evil. I don't feel that there's really anything gained in pointing out that it's a lesser evil. Let's just call it
voting for evil. That's what the person voting for evil says in order to assuage whatever, you know, their conscience is telling them, which we're saying, hey, look, if you have a conscience, then you should be voting your conscience. If there is a candidate up there, whether they can win in your mind or not, if there's a candidate that matches your conscience closer than any other candidate, then that should be the person who you support. But my point go ahead.
Hold on.
Justify some more evil voting. Go ahead.
If they don't exactly match your conscience, you're voting for the lesser of evils. If they're not 100% aligned with what you believe, then they are the lesser of evils. And that's just the definition. And then you're, as Arius so sanctimoniously put it, voting for evil.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think people can have...
You don't believe that's sanctimonious? Because I think we can take a poll.
Oh, sure. That's sanctimonious. I don't care. I mean, okay, I'm sanctimonious by pointing out that people shouldn't vote for evil. How awful of me, right? But
You just wouldn't vote.
I'm not convinced that...
In 49 states, you won't have the option.
No, people can disagree with me on plenty of positions, and it doesn't matter if they agree with me on some of these key positions. They don't have to be evil. Like, we can have a pro-life libertarian candidate, right, who would disagree with me on the subject of abortion, and it wouldn't make her or him more evil than the other candidates or more evil than someone who agreed with me, because they still wouldn't become the authority figure forcing that worldview onto other people, right? So they can love war if they want, as long as they don't actually enact war. War is a bad example because there's no good faith position to be had for war. But abortion,
well,
you can certainly have plenty
of war.
Well, with abortion is the easier one because you can certainly have pro-life people who are pro-life but who believe that abortion should be a choice. And they would disagree with me on that particular issue, and it wouldn't make them evil or the lesser of evils. So I think they can disagree. They don't have to be 100% perfect in order to not be evil at all.
I don't think there's anything wrong with...
They're allowed to disagree with you so long as they do the things that you want them to.
So long as they don't enact violence or initiate aggression against other people.
Definition of what the government is. The government is an organization that owns...
Right.
All of the land within a given geographic area.
Yeah, so I have to vote for voluntarists in order to have a clean conscience. Right, but there's plenty of voluntarists out there who are pro-life, and I would continue voting for them despite disagreeing with them on that particular issue.
Let me ask you this, though. I know that there's people that vote for that the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance has endorsed at, you know, 96% of their votes are acceptable, and they get an A rating, maybe even an A+. I'm not entirely sure how it works, but would you vote for those people, the people that have a 96 or 98
rating?
Vote
for them to do what?
To be a politician in the state of New Hampshire. At this point, you almost the only politicians you get to choose from. There are no New Hampshire NHLA endorsed candidates.
Name a specific position.
Governor.
Do you mean state rep? Sure. Because,
state rep. It's always state rep.
Okay, sure. Then, yeah, I don't care. As state rep, they don't have the authority to enact evil in the first place.
So does it really make a difference who you vote for as state rep if could I vote for somebody who has a zero as state rep and then not be voting for evil, as you say?
Well, probably not, because someone who has a zero for liberty is going to vote to empower the police state and stuff like that, whereas someone with a 96 probably isn't.
Well, they're going. All government is rules enforced at the point of a gun, right? And so, yes. If somebody votes for a little bit more government in this area, or a little bit of government in that area, even if in total they vote for less government, they may vote for a little bit in this area. That's still evil by the definition that you've been using.
I don't know that I agree. And this, there were so many esoteric concepts in there that it's gotten us to the point where
I think it's just clear here that if you don't vote for the people that Ian and Aria want you to vote for, you're evil.
And I already gave you an example of how that's fundamentally not true. I specified exactly how
that somebody could vote, could believe differently on abortion than you,
yeah,
so long as they voted the way you wanted them to vote.
No, I said so long as they don't initiate aggression against people.
Look,
they can disagree. Hold on, Mark. Let me address the point. Let me address
murder.
The point, Mark, because there's plenty of people out there who disagree with me on the subject of trans rights as well. But they're still libertarians, and I would still support them. I would still vote for them. There are plenty of good faith positions that people can have where they disagree with me. That doesn't mean they would initiate aggression against others. I don't know, but is your status mindset so pervasive that you can't even fathom that possibility anymore?
No, I got it completely. Whether your favorite color is blue or green is irrelevant to the conversation. We're talking about running for office. And running for office, in the case of state rep, means voting for laws. And laws are enforced by people with guns. And people with guns, when they enforce those laws, are using force and violence. And you're saying that it's okay if people disagree with you on the color of the next, cop car or something. Well, that's fine and dandy. But ultimately, good people can disagree even on the use of force in government. And abortion's a great example.
No, they can't, because that's evil.
Abortion's evil? I agree.
No, using force against people is evil.
Well,
end of story. I don't care
you
that
don't
they just
agree.
Want
you
to
don't
use
believe
a little
that.
Force. It's still
if
evil.
If somebody comes on your property and starts camping and you use force to get them
okay,
off,
Mark,
you don't
we
think
know. Don't pull that pedantic.
I'm just telling you that
know,
property.
You know
property
damn well, man,
is
that
force.
I'm not talking about self-defense. You know, why even do that? That's a red herring argument. That's an argument for someone who has no position to argue.
Look, I understand what Mark is saying generally about people. For instance, there's in New Hampshire, he's given these examples of the people that get ratings from the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. They might get a 90%. They might get a 95%. They're not perfect. They're not voting 100% with liberty all the time. They may even be an 85%. And I certainly do understand that in an election where you have two choices, one of them being an 85% person, one of them being a total constitutional threat, if you're willing to vote, then it makes sense to vote the lesser of the evils. But at least in that case, you know you are voting for evil to some extent. It doesn't mean that you support the evil. It can simply mean that you're trying to lessen the damage that is being done. And so I understand the excuse, and I've done it. I have voted for the lesser of evils in certain
sure.
cases. But in other
You mean evil?
Yes.
Yes,
he just said
for
that.
For the purposes
said,
of
he just said that, Mark.
For the purposes of reducing harm. However, when there is a third option that is by far the more principled option, even if it's not you know, even if it's only 99%, even if there is that one issue where we disagree, it's still worth supporting the person who is the better choice over the person who, quote-unquote, can win, but they're only 75% or whatever, in that they are more evil, because it matters to my conscience who I am supporting.
I think I can help, Mark. I've also
Good.
Voted for evil. I have voted for the lesser of two evils. I have voted for evil. I know that, and just because I've done that doesn't mean I'm going to throw out all of these excuses why, well, technically what I did wasn't really that bad. No, I voted for evil, and that's on my conscience, and that's on the conscience of everyone out there who voted for the lesser of evils. The difference is I'm not hiding from that. I'm not using excuses to say, well, somehow it's still actually a good thing. No, it was evil.
If you're voting for people, you're going to be voting for evil, as you said. I mean, that's just the end of it. If, like, no representative can represent you 100% of the time. No representative can be perfect.
I agree. That's why I don't agree with Aria. I don't think it is evil, per se, to make a choice of the lesser evils. I wouldn't go on
that. Great, because I have a question for you. Which governors, as the seated governors during 2020 and 2021, which governors were good on the issue of COVID?
Basically none of them, with the I think the number one exception would probably go to the South Dakotan governor, but
she's ranked number five.
I just learned today that she was kind of dragged into some of it by her Congress, so she got a lot of credit for something she apparently didn't do. So yeah, probably absolutely none of them.
Okay, good, because I think that that's bears mentioning when you're berating any one particular governor during the COVID time, especially one that was probably the most vocal for freedom at that time.
Who's that?
Then that's DeSantis.
You mean after he locked down the state and cracked down for several months? I mean, would you quit making excuses for this character? This guy is a
all I'm trying to say is this, that
all in.
He let people out while you were still the businesses in your state were still huddled down. By the way, state number 22 on the rank of 50.
That's why I want to know who really did this, because like anyone who was in here in New Hampshire can tell you
hospitalreview.com.
Yeah, New Hampshire locked down for like 2 weeks, by which I mean
I was in both places, Aria.
Okay, well I was
in both places. That's and I'm telling you which one was free.
That's literally impossible, Mark. But I was here in New Hampshire in early April or late March, whenever it was, when the actual lockdown happened here in New Hampshire, and the bars closed for about 2 weeks, and that was it. It was a 2 week
lockdown.
Because
you can't close bars in New Hampshire. The drunks will.
Well, they did. They did it for 2 weeks, and then that was the end of lockdown, and everything else reopened after that.
I think you could do takeout.
You could do takeout as well, but
you get alcohol takeout.
But you couldn't go to the bar and sit down and have a drink. You know,
it was bad.
That was the fullest extent of the lockdown here in New Hampshire, and it lasted about 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. New Hampshire was bad.
The mask mandates.
It was a disappointment. There's no doubt about that.
The mask mandates and the sort of mask, hysteria.
New Hampshire had no mask mandate.
Well, I'll tell you what, you have a very difficult time going into a store without getting harangued and harassed.
I didn't have any difficult time.
Yes, you did. You got bothered a couple times.
New Hampshire had no mask mandate. I don't know why you're taking
issue with other businesses. All I'm telling you is that I was in both places. In Florida, people were walking around without masks.
You literally could not have been.
They were terrified because they're New Englanders surrounded by Democrats.
I didn't know you were against private property rights, Mark. That's news to me.
There's nothing private about this.
I wasn't bothered, Mark. There was, I think, one time at Hannaford, some manager walked up to me and Bonnie and asked if we would put masks on, and we said we're medically exempt. He turned around and walked away. I mean, I wouldn't call that any serious inconvenience. We certainly, the only time I was ever kicked out of a place was, I think, the AutoZone, where the manager there was pretty crazy about masks, so I went across the street to the other auto parts store and
there was also the co-op, but you didn't go to that, so
that's true.
I mean, you expect that kind of crap at a co-op.
Yeah. I mean, so look, there's no doubt, Mark. That's what we heard, that Florida was better overall as far as the mask insanity was concerned in some of the cities.
The Florida governor came out and spoke in favor of people's rights to, and asked questions and a variety of things.
Yeah, once he determined it would be politically beneficial for him to do that, he did that.
Well, now you're assigning what the reasons
are. That's absolutely the reason that a snake changes how they appear, right? Like this, or this chameleon, or whatever you want to call him. This guy is so slimy. He went all in on tyranny, and then when he realized that he could pander to his base and win brownie points for the next election, he reversed course, changed his demeanor completely, and went the complete other direction, which is like the perfect example
the other
of a waffling politician.
From tyranny, anytime, and no matter why.
Good. I'm glad he did that, Mark. I'm not saying that he doesn't get points for doing that, but his reasons were obviously political and have absolutely nothing to do with holding on to any kind of principle whatsoever about freedom. This man is a police state, arch police statist, who has never seen a pro-cop bill he didn't like. He signs every police state bill that comes in front of him. You can look up his congressional record, by the way, which I've done here, and he signs all of the pro-cop, all of the pro-militaristic stuff. The dude is a neoconservative, and to have libertarians making excuses for him is pathetic. It's pathetic, dude.
I'd also like to talk about what the meaning of a vote is.
So I'll get to it. Let's go to David on the line in Georgia. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, so I'm not quite sure where I stand on this whole thing. I generally think that maybe we should have a government, but it should be as minimalist as possible and as decentralized as possible. So maybe, like, every county in the United States have its own government, and the United States government not exist anymore.
I think
and
that'd be an improvement.
Yeah.
Like, have free roaming, where if you don't like... one county, you can go to the county next door, and there's no, like, travel restrictions or things like that, and you can just freely move back and forth between these jurisdictions. But then you have several thousand different governments, quote-unquote governments, that you can choose from freely anywhere in what was the United States, and I think that would be a heck of a lot better situation, because then if one place was doing something you didn't like, you could just freely go somewhere else, and there would be no, like, harassment or whatever.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I think we're going to have to start with state secession before we get down to county level stuff. Let's start there and see how it goes.
Because I'm not sure individuals. I know, and I agree. Like, I like the idea of voluntarist. But I don't think that we can have complete voluntarists without people literally killing each other. Like, I'm blind, for example, and I don't know what would happen in the case of, like, a person with a gun coming after me. Like, I don't know if I could defend myself, because I've never shot a gun. I'd like to, but...
How many times has a cop protected you from a person coming after you with a gun?
Do I know?
How many times has a police officer protected you from somebody coming after you with a gun?
I've not had that happen, thank God.
Okay, well, I guarantee you they're not going to get there in time. Even if you are able to actually dial the numbers and report it to 911, you're probably going to be dead by the time the police arrive, if the person with the gun's intention is to kill you.
And I think you're right, but I think a lot of what stops people with guns from killing people is... if the person doesn't have a gun, like if the person they're going to kill does not have a gun, is the fear of, like, retribution from the police state.
No, it's that they're good people. It's that they're good people.
Yeah. No, it's that they're afraid of getting shot.
No,
not everybody is a good person.
No, but the overwhelming majority of people are good people. And, you know, if they're willing to take a human life, the fear of consequences is not going to be what stops them. I mean, once their morality, their internal sense of morality breaks down, consequences don't matter.
Right. Punitive, there's been plenty of studies showing that punitive punishments, you know, in the so-called justice system do not actually dissuade people from doing violent crimes.
I kind of like the idea of Mastodon, but for governance. So I can choose to join the Free Talk Live government and...
Well, we're not
going
to have one to offer you, so... Yeah.
Everybody has a government, and I disagree with you, Ian.
Okay, well, you can start your own little Free Talk Live government, Mark. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's what you're trying to do with your beach property idea. But I'm not going to start a government. Not interested in doing that. So
you protect your land. You'll protect your land, and therefore your government.
Okay, yeah, we've been over this whole thing before.
I'm just saying, this is a really important distinction.
I know you like to redefine the term government to mean, you know, private security, but typically government is understood as a monopoly on violence over a land.
Do you have a monopoly on violence over your land?
That's a good question.
You do, because property... and violence, or self-defense, or whatever term you wish to use, are associated. Like, you cannot have property if you are not willing to defend it. And the state claims you and your land as its property, and that's why it has defense forces. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying it's true.
Yeah, I guess the difference would be my land is at least under a... with a group of people who respect property rights, right? So leaving out communists who obviously don't believe in property.
Sure.
If you live in a society where people respect
property
rights, then people will generally respect your claim to your land. And I don't have to go and argue with people over what the rules are on my land. I just get to set those rules. So it's not quite the same thing as governance in the traditional sense.
I'm not sure. Mark may have convinced me with that particular line of argument. Like, if someone wanted to engage in a fist fight in your front yard here, you would be the one with the authority to say, no, you can't do that. You can't engage in this act of violence here. In much the same way as a government would. So I think in that sense, you govern your own property, and I think that's fair to say, but okay, so I govern myself. That's by that point, right. We're muddying the word government to where it's meaningless.
No, we're not. We're not. Hold on. Now, you, me, and Ian have property that's directly adjacent to each other, and we get together, and we say, you know what? We're going to take turns watching out for people who might want to fist fight in our front yard and make sure that they don't. Now we've got a government.
Well, now we formed an actual organization, which is very different from me
and
being
completely legitimate.
You'd
agree, right?
I don't know if I would or not. You know,
I'll give it to you. Yeah, if you got 100% agreement, then you have legitimacy for sure. In that, from that perspective.
And so long as we've got so long as we agree, we can make all kinds of rules, and those rules will be acceptable because they're private governance.
At that point, you're a little NATO or a little BRICS or that kind of thing.
I've always said that one can have a government without having a state. Like, you don't have to sell me on that, Mark.
By my definition, a state is an organization that claims a monopoly privilege on the use of violence in a given landmass. But that is what any government does. I mean, the fire insurance company doesn't do that. But you, as a property owner, do. Ultimately, you have that authority. And especially in the absence of a state, you have that authority. So when you start making rules, whatever, however arbitrary they may be, however anti-liberty they may be, they're still voluntarist because they're voluntary. You decide whether you want to be on my land or not.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with all of that, but I would just like to point out again the existence of governmental agencies that exist that don't use a monopoly on force and violence, like IEEE is one of the best examples, the organization that's responsible for 802.11g wireless networks. The reason that you can take any mobile device and connect it to anyone's wireless network and access the internet is because of IEEE. It's completely voluntary. Anyone making a phone or a piece of networking equipment or whatever, they don't have to follow these protocols. They choose to, and IEEE has a long list of regulations and rules that all of these little devices don't even have to abide, but could abide, and it works.
Is that government, or is that more of a standards organization that people subscribe to?
It governs the world of technology.
Well, we're talking about the difference between a voluntary governance agreement between people that people follow because it benefits them, and this top-down hierarchy, we're going to crush you system. Thank you for the call, David. I appreciate it. I think the more we can decentralize, the better. The more coming up here, the number 603-283-6160. You can join the show and bring up what you want. This is Free Talk Live.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump faced a judge in New York today, pleading not guilty to 34 charges laid out against him. Trump attorney Joe Tacopina.
Yeah, I was surprised there were no facts in there. I mean, normally in an indictment you have alleged facts, so they said that this was a false business record entry to aid and abet another crime without saying what the other crime was.
Trump is back in Florida, where he will speak from Mar-a-Lago tonight. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg laid out those counts unsealed in the indictment, charging Trump with dozens of criminal counts related to alleged illegal hush hush money payments to kill negative information before the 2016 election. The U.S. is providing Ukraine with more military aid as Russia's invasion of the country continues. The $2.6 billion package includes air defense systems, mortar systems, and ammunition and equipment. And the number of job openings dropped in February, falling below 10 million. It's the first time in 2 years the number's fallen below that mark. John Schaefer, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here, and you can bring up anything you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian, Aria, and Mark joining you in the studio tonight. You can join us online over at freetalklive.com and support the show directly if you like what we do here, as Joseph Storm has done. Thank you, Joseph, for supporting the AMPS program. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. Joseph is doing a platinum level AMPS, which definitely appreciate. That means that he's contributing at least $25 a month to support our mission here on Free Talk Live, spreading the ideas of liberty and freedom, peace, cryptocurrency, alternatives to the status quo from a peaceful perspective. And you can do that, too. We only ask for $5 a month, so you can join him over at amps.freetalklive.com. You get access to some perks, get some benefits, like the AMP-only podcast, which has the full radio show without any recorded commercials. You can go to amps.freetalklive.com. It's a Patreon, so you can use your debit card, your credit card, or your PayPal account to get signed up there. That's amps.freetalklive.com. As we continue here, so in the news today, the continued crackdown on cryptocurrency seems to have taken another victim here in the United States. We've been following this story for months now, with the increased attention being brought by the SEC, the CFTC, the FBI.
I mean, we've been following it for years. I mean, at Porkfest, at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, the very year of the Crypto 6 raid in 2021, I gave a presentation there that was specifically about the ways in which the federal government is attempting to seize cryptocurrency. Not directly, that's the method they use in China.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, they get rid of everyone who doesn't jump through all of the regulatory hoops, and then they work out these backdoor relationships with places like Coinbase. that will, and Kraken and Binance would.
Well, they're going after Coinbase and Binance
but
now.
They have to show them who's in charge, mm-hmm. right? They have to make Coinbase and all of these others aware that they're only allowed to continue doing business at the mercy of the
right.
U.S. government.
Right. These Machiavellian bastards have been known to stick a shiv in people's backs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Coinbase was trying to curry favor with them for close to a decade before finally the shiv came in.
Well, see, that's the problem.
The SEC.
You don't go to the king and say, may I have a favor, Your Majesty, or whatever. It just doesn't work that way. You wait until the king smacks you and then says, now, I will let you do this one thing, and you'll be grateful that I'm going to let you do it.
That seems to be where we're at right now with the situation. So we've seen them going after Coinbase in just the last two or three weeks. Within the last couple weeks, also an attack against Binance, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange. So they're not just going after the little guys like Library at this point, which there was, you know, early on they just went after the smaller fish just to test the waters to see if they could get away with it, and they did get away with it. They beat Library in federal court here in the New Hampshire district, and they're destroying that company, and so now they're going to go after the big ones. I like what you're pointing out here, though, Aria, is that they're going to take a little bit of blood from these guys and let them continue to operate. Meanwhile, they're going to whittle down the competition.
Yep.
Because what's happened in the last week was we saw that Bittrex, which is a U.S.-based exchange, is now closing U.S. operations. CEX.io also does business in the United States. They are no longer going to accept bank transfers in or out of their exchange, so they're effectively closing U.S. I mean, you can still have your account, but you can only trade cryptos on it. So there's a zillion exchanges out there you can trade cryptos on anywhere on the planet. That makes them not different from any of those.
Well, that's exactly where the danger lies as well. There are countless ways, once you have cryptocurrency, to turn it into other cryptocurrencies.
Yes.
But there are increasingly few, or increasingly few sounds like
there are fewer on-ramps and off-ramps.
And that is going to be the case. That's what the government is doing on purpose.
Correct.
And they are putting gates at all of those on-ramps so they can measure and monitor exactly who goes on and exactly what they do there.
Yes, and so here's the latest example, Paxful, which is, or was, a peer-to-peer platform for trading Bitcoin, according to an announcement they made today, is suspending its marketplace and says they are unsure whether operations will resume, according to CEO Ray Youssef in a message published to their website. Now, for listeners that aren't familiar, Paxful was kind of like the number two site to local bitcoins. We've certainly talked a lot over the years about local bitcoins. It was the most premier place to go if you wanted to buy Bitcoin from another individual. And, of course, that was what some of us on the Crypto 6 were utilizing to offer Bitcoin for sale around the United States, and that led to the federal government raiding our homes back in March of 2021. You and I are still facing sentencing dates in the upcoming months.
3 weeks away.
For that. Yours is on the 25th, and if anyone is in the New England area and you can attend, what time? Do you know what time of
10
day?
In the morning.
10 a.m. on April 25th is Aria's sentencing. It would be great to have as many people there as possible.
Ian, can you go?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can go to court things. That's no problem. They'll let me out for that stuff. But, yeah, if you can show up to that, that would be, you know, helpful. It's a nice way to support somebody. And that, again, is April 25th at 10 a.m. That's at Federal District Court in Concord, New Hampshire. You can look up the address, and hopefully you can attend. But not only are they using the FBI to target the sellers on these websites, there's also been pressure on the sites themselves to some extent, meaning that local bitcoins, and you kind of have to read between the lines on these announcements. When local bitcoins announced, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, that they were closing operations entirely, because they're an international website. They're based out of Finland, so not even in the United States. But the pressure has been on them for quite some time. They are dealing with, you can only imagine how many requests they're getting from law enforcement for various different, you know, investigations of alleged fraud, because there are absolutely fraudsters that utilize that website.
Yeah.
It's not to say that that's in local Bitcoin's intent. And I certainly don't think it's the supermajority or anything of their customers, but they're there.
Well, in my experience, they do. If you manage to catch a scammer or mm-hmm. someone who's committing fraud, they are quick to act.
Sure.
And they
can't keep them away.
No, they can't.
That's the thing. They'll just create a new account, and do whatever they're going to do. But there probably is a compliance cost, right? They have to have people filling out all this government paperwork that comes in, and that costs a lot of money, right? And what they said was when they shut down was that the economics were getting difficult during the quote-unquote crypto winter. And I don't buy that.
No, not at all.
Because they said that they were getting still like $5 million, I think it was per week or something like that. Maybe it was per day, whatever it was.
And this is just like every transaction that happens at local Bitcoins, they skim just a tiny little fraction of 1%. A Bitcoin off the top. Is it 1%?
Yeah, 1%.
And that goes to them.
Now, right.
There are huge amounts of Bitcoin going to localbitcoins.com.
But the numbers were down. The numbers were down due to quote-unquote crypto winter, and that was the excuse they used for shutting their doors entirely. But it's like that doesn't make any sense because – this is a website that has been around for a decade. So they've been through all the crypto winners. They've been through every single crypto Bitcoin downturn, and there have been some pretty extreme ones. And they made it through those. So why is this one different? It's because the regulatory environment is worse now than it's ever been.
Absolutely.
That's why local Bitcoins added Know Your Customer requirements back in 2017. And that's why local Bitcoins got rid of the local aspect of their business in 2017 at the same time. So it used to be that you could go to the site and you could actually meet someone in person. You could say, well, I'm in Keene, New Hampshire. I'm looking for someone selling in the area. And then you could go and meet up at McDonald's or in a parking lot or something like that and actually hand over cash to the other individual and sell Bitcoins that way. They got rid of that in 2017. So they were no longer even local Bitcoins, but they still had the name.
Sure.
And so, like, you knew then that it was because of government pressure that they were doing those things. That's the only reason why you would want to, you know, make those changes.
Well, I don't know whether or not government had to actually pressure them to do that, but a lot of their users were, like, getting arrested and getting set up by DEA agents who were saying that they were laundering money or throwing out all sorts of terms like that. And just when I did Call to Freedom, like every single week, there was a new story of someone getting arrested using local Bitcoins for meeting up with someone who was buying or selling Bitcoins. And one of them mentioned the word drugs. And next thing you know, like six different people are being charged. And there was a new story every single week about this. And they were all meet in person transactions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so maybe they were trying to protect their customers from that. I don't know.
It could be that that's probably the more benevolent take I can think of. But you're absolutely right. I expect companies like Crypto.com and others like that. 2 years ago, there was cryptocurrency couldn't have been more popular. It was advertising during the Super Bowl. There were countless cryptocurrency commercials during the Super Bowl. What happened to all of those companies? The majority of them.
People.
Yeah. The crypto went down. They fired people. They shrunk. Crypto.com is steadily shrinking. Almost all of the companies that advertised during the Super Bowl either no longer exist or are on their way to no longer existing.
Well, they cut back. I mean, they're not out of business. They just had to cut
maybe
back from the growth spurt that they had. But in the case of Paxful, they are shuttering their operations temporarily, probably forever. Yusuf said, and again, this is the main competitor to local Bitcoins. There are other sites that do what those sites did, so it hasn't ended completely, but the top two are basically gone now. He says this will probably come as a big shock to many. While I cannot share the full story now, I can say that we unfortunately have had some key staff departures. He also
assassinated.
He also took note of regulatory challenges, particularly in the P2P, meaning peer-to-peer market, and in the United States. So again, citing the government, citing the targeting of these various different exchanges.
This guy doesn't. If their staff members have any sense, they were, one, operating anonymously or pseudo-anonymously or whatever the word is. And if they weren't, then they hopefully have fled to a country where they won't be hounded by agencies of governments around the world that would choose to hunt them down.
Yeah, I mean, the odds that they're going to go after customer service reps are probably pretty slim. They typically go after the CEOs and those types. He said that the Paxful wallet, which is where customers would store their Bitcoin on the site, will remain in operation. So they haven't closed completely. If you had an account at Paxful, you would be able to go for some amount of time, we don't know how long, you would be able to go and withdraw your funds from the site. So that's
so go do that now.
Yeah, if you had anything on there, you know, even a fraction of a Bitcoin, now would be the time to go and get that off. He says customers are being encouraged to transition to self-custody or using other service providers like Bitcoin payments company Bitnob, which I've never heard of, and newly created peer-to-peer marketplace called Nunes, like Jay Noon with an S, Nunes. In December, Paxful suspended the trading of Ether on the marketplace, citing the network switch to proof of stake from proof of work as a reason for the move, which makes absolutely no sense. Since then, the platform has only been trading Bitcoin. Speaking on Twitter Spaces following this morning's surprising announcement, I'm not surprised, Yusuf said there were concerns about the safety of customer funds thanks to a lawsuit by Paxful's co-founder, Arthur Shabak. He says, I couldn't guarantee the security of the platform. That's why this thing had to go down. He said Shabak was pissed, so he sued the company, and his litigation team was really nasty. They drove away all of our senior-level staff. They just couldn't deal with this guy anymore, and then he refused to pay our engineers, and he refused to pay our compliance. Shabak couldn't be reached for a request for comment. So he's placing the primary blame on this from what sounds like an angry ex-partner. So it sounds like there's some bad blood between whoever it was that founded this particular website, this Paxful. And I suspect Shabak has his own reasons for doing what he's doing.
Sure.
I don't know who this other guy is. I've heard of him before, and I've also heard that they don't have a good reputation. This individual. So who knows who scammed who? Somebody probably reneged on some kind of deal or whatever, and that's what brought the lawsuit. But basically, he's saying he can't pay his staff members, and on top of that, the regulatory environment is too scary. So they're just closing operations at the number two. What I would say is the number two. I don't know if there's any rankings out there, but Paxful's been around for a very, very long time. They came out as the major competitor to local Bitcoins back in the day. So it is getting harder. They're closing down the exits. Whether this was the result of a direct targeting by the federal government or simply the fear, I think it's probably the latter. Likely,
you mean the exits from the U.S. dollar?
Yes, exits to from the U.S. dollar and the exits to and from crypto, meaning that if you have Bitcoin and you want to get U.S. dollars, it's getting harder to go that direction as well. And that is what they are working on.
It's very difficult. There's no doubt about that.
Harder than ever.
Yeah.
It used to be that you could just go on one of these websites and easily get cash for Bitcoins. Not anymore. Now, there are still some that are in operation, I believe. AgoraDesk is still out there, agoradesk.com and localmonero.co. They seem to be run by libertarians, just based on the name. Agora is kind of like a libertarian, highly used word. It means marketplace. But it's just a Greek word for market.
Well, the guy from Kraken is also pretty, Jesse Powell, I think his
name.
Yeah,
he's pretty libertarian, yeah. And they're still in business. They paid $30 million to get the SEC to leave them alone for the moment. And the question is, are they going to come back around knowing that they can shake them down for 30 mil? Maybe they'll shake them down for another 10 or whatever and come at them for some other reason.
Yeah,
who knows?
I don't think it was about the 30 million. I mean, that's a lot of money, right? But it was mostly about the dominance.
Mm-hmm.
From what
right.
I can tell, it's just all of this is just about the U.S. government and agencies within the U.S. government establishing dominance over what it has viewed as this rogue, out-of-control technological market that has been growing over the last 15 years.
Right. If you can make money and literally create it out of thin air, then what's the point in going and shaking people down for money? It's the obvious answer. Yeah, the obvious answer is power, dominance plays, whatever, you know, however you want to paint this, but it's basically just a bunch of different words for the same thing.
Yep, so that's your update. That's the latest death in the world of cryptocurrency. Paxful is basically going out of business. That's the way it looks. Why would they come back? You know, at this point, his business has fallen apart. The regulatory environment is scary, and so who knows? That's where that is. Let's go to the phones here. We got Ricky on the line in Pennsylvania. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Thank you there, Brother Ian, Brother Mark, Sister Arya. Good evening.
Hey, what's on your mind, Ricky?
Well, today Donald J. Trump, the J stands for jackass, got indicted. And here's what's fascinating. There's a couple things fascinating. First thing, I'm not surprised that, of course, as ludicrous as it is, he pled not guilty because he expects to be found guilty. And, of course, already.
Why would you plead not guilty if you expect to be found guilty?
Well, I'll explain why. Because he already posted to his Truth Social, you know, D.A. Bragg should self-indict himself. The judge is on the take. That's all he's going to say. You know, kind of like, you know what it is. The election was rigged and all that stuff. Oh, it's always somebody else's thing. You know what I mean, Ian?
No, I don't know what you mean. Why would you, if you believe you're going to be found guilty, why would you go with not guilty? I mean, I guess you could hold out for a better plea deal. That would be the reason.
He expects to be found guilty. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
So then he'll take a plea, is what you're saying at some point.
Maybe. Maybe.
Well, that's what a sane person would do. I mean, anyone
yeah,
with
well,
a...
Probably, well, being that he pleaded not guilty, and he's likely going to be found guilty, you know how court works. They're probably not going to offer him a plea.
Yeah, they will.
Yes, they absolutely will. I mean, I guess there's a small chance that, because Mark did suggest this is a likely political targeting, and that seems like a reasonable thing to say. If that's the case, maybe they won't offer him a plea just so they can hang him high. But in most cases, a plea deal is offered to almost every defendant. I mean,
a plea deal. I predict a plea deal will be offered. I don't know whether he'll take it, and I suspect he will not.
I suspect he won't either.
But it will be offered, and the reason is all the Democrats want in this is for Donald Trump to get convicted of a crime sufficiently bad enough that he cannot then not run for president, and they're trying to bolster up the cadaver that they have in, what is it, The Weekend at Ernie's? Which is the one where they're dragging, what is it?
Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's, right? They're dragging around a cadaver and making it sing here. And, that's all they're trying to do.
But there is no such charge.
What's that, making a cadaver sing?
No, I mean, there is no charge that Donald Trump could be convicted of in the state of New York that would bar him from running for office.
Correct. He would be
able to run. Calling it a novel... They're calling it a novel political or a novel legal.
I understand that, but you said what Democrats want here is for him to be charged and found guilty and for something major enough for him to not run for office.
He can run, but what about being elected? Isn't it high crimes, misdemeanors, or something like that?
No, even
those are all federal offenses.
Even the mainstream media who hates Trump has run multiple stories where they've researched this, and they've said that he can absolutely run for president. Now, I don't know what the rule is federally as far as being convicted and still on a sentence. I don't know if that's a factor when it comes to federal, but in theory, just being a felon does not bar you from running for president.
If I may chime into this, Brother Ian, that's where I was going. You see, there's a couple points I wanted to make. Now, first of all, this would be felonies, but the reality is, whether it be at his home base residence in Florida or in New York, it doesn't bar him from president or winning. But one thing that's been toyed with, you see, in both of those, in the case of Florida and also being convicted in where he's at, you see, unless he's in New Hampshire, Mark will understand this. He can't vote. And the speculation is this was never tested. How can you ask for somebody's vote if you yourself can't vote? But there's more.
It doesn't seem difficult. You just ask for people to vote for you.
Yeah, if they're dumb, I'm just wondering how that'll operate. But here's another thing.
Easily. I mean, he'll just say, vote for me.
One other point, Ian. Now, all these other cases, including the one in Georgia, that's a felony. That'll likely be obstruction of justice. Then you have the same thing with the Mar-a-Lago thing. That's going to be at least obstruction of justice. The only one that can hurt him is the seditious conspiracy one, the other case the DOJ has. But I don't see that going anywhere because Trump already stacked the deck on that. Because when he said his speech from the Ellipse, he made the thing go down to the Capitol and fight like hell. And if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore. But then after that, he said, make sure that you do it peacefully. That's kind of contradictory, but nobody's going to care. He's still going to say he said that, you know? So I don't think it's going to happen. That's the only thing that can bar him, seditious conspiracy, according to the U.S. Constitution.
Well, I don't think there's a conflict there. It's telling someone to fight like hell, but do it peacefully isn't necessarily a conflict.
Yeah, but these people were already engineered to do it violently. His supporters are extreme. You know, they really are. It's not going to matter.
I don't either. And even if they are, that's not Trump's fault.
Well, either way, like I said, it's not going to matter because that one's not going to happen. That's the only thing that would bar him, according to the Constitution. Okay. So if he runs, he could still win, and that's it.
He could. He could. Time will tell. Thank you, Ricky, for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
He just pardoned himself, right?
Can you pardon? Can a federal president pardon state-level charges?
I thought they could.
No.
Oh. Okay.
No, you can't. Thanks for asking, something I'm an expert on.
Right.
The president can pardon state-level stuff. Federal-level stuff. And governors can pardon their individual state, but there's no crossover in any of these things. So if Trump has, he would need the governor of the state of New York, which sounds remarkably unlikely.
All right, I want to go to, good point. Let's go to the phones here. Caller, you're on the air. What is your name? Hello?
Scott.
Scott, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Oh, I was wanting to talk about the Goldback and UPMA real quick.
Sure, Goldback. And, for listeners that don't know, how would you describe it, Scott?
It's gold that's in a form that you can carry around easily.
Yeah, you can slip it in your wallet, and they're gorgeous interchangeable pieces that are just have beautiful artwork on them, and they're specific to several states, including Utah, New Hampshire, Nevada, and I believe Wyoming is the latest one. Aria is currently holding one in front of our studio camera. We carry them around and use them as often as possible. I tipped one at a restaurant in Concord today as I was there to meet with my attorney. Anyway,
the New Hampshire ones, I'm always hesitant to spin these, right? I also have the Utahs and the Nevadas as well. Like,
you're more likely to spin
given
those.
The choice, yeah, I'd rather keep the New Hampshire ones. Hey,
Ian, could you use your pull and get Florida Goldbacks?
I don't have a pull with that, Mark. You would have to find somebody who's willing to sponsor the Florida Goldback, and they charge more based on a more populated state. So I don't know what that would cost, but I imagine it's probably in the range of, like, I don't know, $500,000 to $1 million. But I don't know. I'm not an expert. I don't work for Goldback. I cannot speak to that, but it would probably be fairly expensive. Scott, what were your comments on it?
Well, okay, so I had a UPMA account for a couple of years, and I just kept my Goldbacks on there.
That's the United Precious Metals Association. They're sort of related to Goldback. I don't know how you describe the relationship.
They seem to have sort of a partnership.
Yeah, there's kind of a partnership there. I know you're getting to something, Scott. Hang on. We're going to bring you back here in a moment. We'll find out what happened or what your question was or what your statement was regarding Goldbacks, which I am a huge fan of. We use them as often as possible, and lots of local businesses here accept them because, well, people value Goldbacks. Hour 3 is coming up.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.